بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we've already moved on to the second third of the holy month of Ramadan today being the 11th day and there's a report which mentions the hadith is recorded in Bayhaqi and Ibn Khuzaymah and Tarhib and in the report our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he separated the holy month of Ramadan into three parts and he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the first part brings the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the second part or the second third brings his forgiveness and the third and final part is freedom from the fire so what does this blessed hadith mean so some of the scholars rahimahumullah they say that Allah the almighty and glorious he's created for all the Muslims in the holy month of Ramadan he's created from those who are very strong to those who are very weak So in these three parts, the shuyukh mentioned that the first part is reserved for those who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the holy month of Ramadan starts, they immediately get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aye? So this is for the righteous. The second third, which we're now in, they say is reserved for those who do good and bad deeds. i.e. those who are half-half. So they receive the mercy in this second part. And the last part is reserved for the major sinners. Those whose sins are far greater than their good deeds. Allah Ta'ala frees them by His grace and mercy from the fire. So subhanAllah, how great is this holy month that Allah the Almighty and Glorious is not letting anybody despair. So the hadith again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the first third brings the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second third brings his forgiveness and the third freedom from the fire. So the other thing which is very interesting about the holy month of Ramadan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he is made fasting part of the holy month. So now, when you think of intercession, you think of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if a person asks you who will intercede for you on the day of judgment, you will say the prophets. They will ask and pray for our forgiveness, inshallah. Who else intercedes for you? So you say the righteous, i.e. the awliya. They will also intercede for sinners. And Allah Ta'ala will accept their intercession. Who else intercedes for you? The martyrs. The martyrs will intercede for 70 of their family members. Famous hadith in Tirmidhi. Who else intercedes for you? And you get a huge list of righteous people. Even the elderly, one hadith says, they will intercede. When they reach, if a person reaches with Iman the age of 100, he will intercede for two of his family members. But what's also fascinating is that it is not just people who will intercede on the Day of Judgment, but also deeds. So in a famous hadith, the hadith is in Ahmad Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting will intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. Now think about that. So one is the reward of the fast, which you will certainly get inshallah, which are mentioned in very famous reports. But that is just one aspect of fasting. Another aspect of the fast is it will intercede. And what does the hadith say? The fast will say, O Lord, for my sake, forgive him. For my sake, because he kept away from his desires, food and drink, he goes, forgive him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah Ta'ala will accept the intercession of the fast. So one, so this is something very interesting about fasting. So now if that is a fast and the hadith doesn't mention the Fard fast, then certainly must be referring to the Fard fast, because that is the greatest of all fasts, and the only Fard fast we have is in the month of Ramadan. So imagine, before we leave the world, how many obligatory fasts, inshallah, would we have kept? So we will meet our Lord, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, hopefully, with many hundreds of obligatory fasts. What does it mean that the fast will intercede? Does it mean that each fast will intercede, or just one? It doesn't matter. One secures your salvation. So this is number one. Number two, the same hadith goes on to mention that the Quran will intercede. And the Quran says in the hadith, I kept him away from sleep during the night. Forgive him for my sake. Now what's interesting about that? Why is fasting and the Quran mentioned together in this hadith? Because the clue is in what they say. Fasting because of keeping away from desires and food and drink. The Quran says, I kept him away from sleep. So it seems to indicate it's the night prayer during the month of Ramadan, because that's the only real time that we keep away from sleep. So note, maybe it's referring to the Taraweeh prayer, this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran. So note again, fasting is priceless, and inshallah it will intercede for you. In another very famous report which we hear, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the month of Ramadan, the gates of paradise are all open, the gates of hell are all closed shut, and the rebellious shayateen are chained. Famous hadith, you'll find in Bukhari and Nasa'i. But what does it mean? So if all the gates of paradise are open right now as I'm speaking, what does that mean? And all the gates of hell are shut as I'm speaking, what does that mean? All the rebellious shayateen are chained up. So there's so much commentary on this hadith. First of all, how does it happen? So the first thing to point out is a hadith. The hadith is in Bayhaqi. And I'm paraphrasing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, he goes, go and tie up the rebellious shayateen. Go and tie them up and cast them into the bottom of the ocean, because I, subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not want them to mess or pollute the fasts of the followers of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this very interesting hadith, Allah Ta'ala has explained why the rebellious shayateen are chained up. Why are they chained up? Because they will pollute your fast. So Allah Ta'ala is helping you. He says, I don't want their fast to be polluted. The second interesting thing is, who is sent to tie up the rebellious shayateen? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what's interesting, a lot of people, they think erroneously that Jibreel, he's now retired alayhi salatu wasalam. And he goes, what do you mean he's retired? Because his revelation has finished. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was given the Quran, but that's just one of his roles. He still obviously got his duties. So he ties all the shayateen up. What does that tell you about the shayateen? They're very weak. Jibreel has no problems tying them up. The third very interesting thing in this hadith is where they are tied up and where they are imprisoned. And the hadith mentions at the bottom of the ocean. So now, why is that fascinating? Because the further down you go into the recesses of the ocean, the darker it gets. In fact, there's absolutely no light after a certain distance that you go down into the ocean. Complete darkness. And when they actually go down using their equipment, they start finding out very strange creatures. And the creatures they find are quite frightening, to say the least. You see fish with huge fangs. And, you know, very strange creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it's not a place for you to go. But the hadith explains this is where the shayateen are tied up. This is their prison. Another report adds another detail. in Asbahani Kanzul Umal Hayat al-Sahab, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, with each of the rebellious shayateen, there are seven angels, God, alayhi salatu wasalam. With each of the rebellious shayateen, there are seven angels, God, alayhi salatu wasalam. So how many there are, we don't know. But each one has got seven gods. So there's seven angels keeping them in check, so they don't do anything until the holy month of Ramadan leaves. And where's the clearest proof that the shayateens are locked up? People say, how do we know that, you know? Because the Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But outwardly, you see it very easily. Because everybody would agree that what we do in Ramadan, we won't be able to do outside of Ramadan. If I was to say to you, let's offer 20 rakats nafl outside of Ramadan after Isha, would you do it? You think, brother, you do it. Even 2 rakats nafl, forget about 20. And yeah, in Ramadan, it's like 20 rakats, no problem, let's do it. Why are you finding it so easy? A person goes, right, brother, let's do a khatam of the Quran. Brother, that's going to take me all year. Then how come you do it in Ramadan? The hajjat. A person goes, yes, you know, if I'm in deep trouble, I might offer a 2 rakat. Why are you offering the hajjat so easily in Ramadan? Because shaitans are locked up. The deeds become easy. So not all of this is Allah Ta'ala's grace upon this ummah, because He wants to protect this beloved deed of fasting so you take the true benefits. So to sum up, number one, we are now in the second third of the holy month of Ramadan where our sins will be forgiven, inshallah. Secondly, the fast itself will intercede, meaning that this deed that we're going through now, it will become personified on the day of judgment and it will be accepted intercession, alhamdulillah. The third is, alhamdulillah, the shayateen are locked, they've gone. And we know where they are, and all praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, الذي تلطف بعباده فتعبدهم بالنظام.